All right. Y'all pray for Lucia and them while they're taking care of business. Pray for me while I'm preaching. You say, how do I pray for you while I'm listening? I don't know, but you're supposed to do it anyways. If you will, turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And in Romans chapter 7, we're going to talk a lot about things that we'd like to do and we don't. And things that we hate and we still do. And you say, does that just excuse us and we can just turn around and say, well, that's the way God made me and it's okay? No, we can't do that. Because God did not make us to sin. We became sinners when Adam fell, but God does not push us to sin. He does not try us to sin. He does not cause us to sin. So therefore, we can't use God as an excuse for why we're sinners, because that's not the way God made us. Knowing ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. In other words, he was probably preaching to a bunch of Jewish folks who know the law, the stuff there, but we also know the law. We've been raised up in the law here. We know what the law say and do. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even unto him who is raised from the dead, that we should be bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were in by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead therein, we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taketh occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taketh occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. For sin... But sin, that it might be appear, sin worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might seem exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but have to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, is it no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And I must go on. Therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So we go back to the beginning here. We see here, know ye not, brethren, I speak to them that know the law, that the law hath dominion over a man so long as he liveth. In other words, we know what the Ten Commandments, the moral law, says do. The law is over us as long as we liveth. But it also tells us that we know that we break this law. If we check ourselves out, we study ourselves, we look in the mirror and say, thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that, thou shalt do all these things. And we look in the mirror and say, whoops, 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 oh me, oh me, oh me. Because if you hadn't broke some of them, I don't know how you could say you've been here, because you had to break at least one, if not all, or part of them. It says here, the law, we are under the dominion of the law. In other words, everyone who is born who is outside of Christ has to pay the penalty of that law. And the Bible in chapter 6 says, and the wages of sin is death. Everyone who is a violator of the law is a sinner. Everyone who is a sinner, the wages of sin is death. Therefore, the penalty of death is upon every single person who has ever been. It says here, for the woman which hath an husband, we're going to talk about a perfect marriage here now. A woman hath a husband, is bound in the law of her husband so long as he lives. In other words, if you're married to a man and he's doing right, and he's doing all the things he's supposed to be doing, you're bound to obey and stay with him. That's the law says. You're bound to stay with him so long as he liveth. In other words, as long as y'all live, outside of being some kind of adultery or abandonment or something like that, as long as he lives, you're supposed to stay with him and obey his law, his order. It says, if she's bound to that law. But if her husband be dead, she is loose from that law of her husband. Now, so we see if her husband be dead, she no longer is under my law, or your husband's law, or your husband's law, or your husband's law. You don't have to get up and make my grits and eggs every morning at a certain time, at a certain place, stuff like that. You're no longer bound under my rules and regulations if I be dead, or your husband be dead. So it says here, so then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another. In other words, if she refuses to obey her husband's law and gets married to somebody else, then she becomes an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another. In other words, if her husband's dead, or if the rule of order that Christ has said in the Bible is done, then she is not considered an adulteress, but she could be married to another. Now, we're talking not in the marriage sense of man and woman here. Now, we're talking about in being married to Christ or married to sin here. It says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. So if you're a believer, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it says you have become dead to the law. As the husband being dead, the wife is no longer obligated to the husband. Christ being dead, the body of Christ being crucified on that cross, all those who believed in him, all those who put their faith and trust in him, are now dead to the law. Now, does that mean that we don't obey the law? No. Some people get that carried away somewhere. Because I am dead to the law, which means the law, because I'm a believer in Christ, Christ paid my sin debt to the law has no more hold on me to force me to do anything. The law has no more hold on me to bring death into my life. The law has been taken care of by the body of Christ, who died for my sins, who paid my sin debt on the cross, that I would not have to pay the debt myself. So it says, wherefore, my brethren, ye are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. No longer the law, while I am a law keeper, I should love the law of the Lord. The law is good, the law is holy, the law is righteous. We just read that. But the law does not grip me down every time I turn around. My conscience should be affected. If I do something really, really bad, God will chasten me. He will bring me back into the right spot. But the law does not condemn me to death any longer because Christ paid my debt. Christ paid the sin debt. Christ died for me for sin. So it says here, by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to Him, Christ, who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. In other words, when I became a believer, when God saved me, when God turned my life around, I no longer had to worry about the death penalty of sin, but now I should walk in newness of life and bring fruit unto God and godliness. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Before I was saved, my works brought death. My works were sin. My works were against God. My works were against the things of God. But in salvation and believing in Christ, now my works should be towards the fruit of God. Love, joy, peace, bringing people into the right direction, leading people and telling people about godliness in Christ. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were healed, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. We have been saved. We have been delivered. We have been brought into a newness of life, that we should walk after the new man. Now, it's kind of hard to walk after the new man because we're still dragging around the old man. God didn't take us out of this world and put us in a new place. We're still here. We still have this old body. We still have this old flesh. We still have this sinful nature that's hanging around with us, but yet we have now been given the new man. The new man who loves things of God. The new man who desires the things of God. So now we have a total battle goes on in our hearts. The new man wants to serve God. The old man wants to stay after the old stuff. And you say, are you trying to get me to be perfect? No, I'm not trying to get you. I wish we could. I wish I could. I wish I could say, the new man's going to win, and he should, and he could, but my old man sure likes to bring me down and mess with me a whole lot. Says, I should. Says, but we are now delivered from the law. In other words, when I do sin, when I do mess up, not that I don't confess my sin, not that I don't go to 1 John and say, God, I messed up, and I need to forgive. I didn't become sinless when I got saved, as some people would like to think people do. But it says, but I am delivered from the law. I'm not sinless. You're not sinless. But the penalty of law is no longer on me. The penalty of law is death. The penalty of law means everlasting destruction. The penalty of law means the wrath of God. The penalty of law is going to carry you where you don't need to be. But it says, wherein you were held, that you should serve in newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. In other words, we could get real, real, real self-righteous here and look at people, well, if you were a good Christian, you wouldn't do this or you wouldn't do that, and try to judge everybody by each other. And I don't want to do that because we can't do that, because y'all be looking straight at me. That's more y'all looking at me than I am looking at y'all. And you say here, boy, Brother Charlie, if you were a real Christian, you wouldn't have did that. And I could say, if I was a real Christian, I probably wouldn't have, but I am a real Christian. I am saved. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. But I still carry that old dead man around with me. It says here, but sin, no, that we should, what should we say then? Is the law sin? No. The law is not sin. The law is not bad. The law is not ugly. Is the law sin? God forbid that we should blame the law. First of all, God forbid we should blame God for what we are, and God forbid we should blame the law as being sinful. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. I wouldn't have known lust if the law hadn't said, thou shalt not covet. Another, man, I like that guy's motorcycle. Wow. And I got to have me one. I don't care how I got to get it, but I got to get me one. That's lust. covetousness. The law says, I wouldn't have knew that I was a luster over that guy's motorcycle had it not been for the law showing me, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not. So the law doesn't make me a sinner, but the law shows me I'm a sinner. The law shows me that I fall short. The law points out the fact of all my problems and all my weaknesses. Then it says, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. In other words, if there were no law, there would be no sin. If there were no law, I couldn't be a violator. If there were no law, I'd be okie dokie. Problem is, there is a law. Even we take it all the way back to Adam. Before Adam fell, we'll fix you that next verse. Let me read that. No. And first thing, before Adam fell, we were all alive. We were all non-sinners. But the very moment Adam broke that first law and sinned, he only had one. He couldn't even keep one, and he didn't even have a depraved, sinful nature. He was okay. He was made okay. He didn't have a sinful bone in his body up until the day he sinned. So when we thought, man, no, Adam, I'm going to straighten him out. I, a sinful person, depraved from the get-go, I'm going to straighten out the one who wasn't sinful to begin with? Boy, I've got a lot to learn on that one. It says, but sin taketh occasion by me, wrought me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. Before Adam fell, I was alive. Before Adam fell, I was okay. I was alive once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. For the commandment which was ordained to life, I found unto death. In other words, if I could have kept the laws would have been unto life. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. If I could have just kept them, I should have had life. Problem is, I couldn't. Even on my best days, I didn't do that too good. It says, and the commandment which was ordained to life, that should have brought me life, which should have kept me better, which should have helped me straight, my disobedience and my anger and my sinfulness always pushed me the wrong direction. He says, ordained unto life, I found it unto death. Because every time I turned around, I found myself to be a lawbreaker. I found myself to be against God. I found myself to be a violator. And that's what the law is supposed to do. It's supposed to show us that we need a Savior. That we need a person who can take away our sin debt and give us life. The law is not to make me feel bad, but the law is to show me just how bad I am. If you just feel bad, you ain't got it. You see, there is where you feel bad and you don't repent unto godliness. And then there's a place where you feel bad and you repent unto godliness. You have godly sorrow, which brings repentance unto life. You see, you can feel bad about what you're doing and still keep doing it. You need a God to do something in your life to change you. You need God to open your eyes to what you are. Everybody out there, if you get on their case and make them feel good, oh, you don't feel so bad about what I just did, but, you know, then there's the time when God makes you feel that, when you say, oh, boy, not only do I feel bad about what I did, but I need forgiveness. I need repentance. I need to bow down to the power of God and acknowledge Him for what He is. Wherefore, the law is holy. The law is holy. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law is good. The law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. The law is not unfair. In fact, the law, same law that was to you, was to you, was to you. Everybody, every one of us had the very same law. There wasn't no unfairness in God's way. Well, I'm just going, you've got to keep up this standard, and you over here keep up that standard. Nope. We all got the very same laws. Regardless of where you're born, wherever your status is, you still have the very same law. The law was holy. The commandment was holy, just and good. Was then that which was good made death unto me? God forbid. The sin didn't do it. I mean, the law didn't do what to me. The lawbreaker, the sinfulness in me is what brought death to me. The law didn't kill me. The law showed me how bad I was. The law showed me what need I needed. My disobedience is what's going to kill me. The law won't kill me. Was then that which is good made death unto me? Was the law made death unto me? No. The law just says, don't do this. Don't do that. What made death unto me? I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to break that law, Lord. I don't care right now. I don't care about the consequences. I'm just going to violate your law. And I did that for years. Till one day God says, today's the day you get saved. Today's the day I'm going to open your eyes to your law breaking. Today's the day I'm going to open your eyes to your violation. Today's the day that I'm saving you, and I'm going to put a new man in you, a new creature in you, and you're going to now walk different. Was that then which was good and made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin. In other words, the law kept showing me just how sinful I was. Just how in need I am. The law kept showing me, but sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me, that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Has your sin yet become exceeding sinful? Are you just a little sinner? Or do you understand you're an exceeding sinful sinner? You understand? You didn't just break a little of God's word. You have broken all of God's word. You have violated everything in God's word. It says, sin is exceeding sinful. I got to the place where I couldn't stand myself. I got to the place where I was at the end of my rope. I got to the place where there was no hope. For we know that the law is spiritual. Uh-oh, there's a problem for us. Because the carnal man can't receive the things of the Spirit. It says the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, and I have been sold under sin. In other words, without the help of God, I like sin more than I like God. I was sold under sin. My flesh loves sin. It says the carnal man is sold under sin. And then we get here, it says, for that which I do, I allow not. Have you ever seen somebody after they quit smoking? And then all of a sudden, somebody up comes around and was smoking. Man, you need to put that mess. Man, that's nasty for you, and it stinks and everything else. But just 2 days ago, when he was still a smoker, it was okay. It says here, for that which I do, I allow not. In other words, there's a whole lot of people says, don't do what I do, but do what I tell you to do. That which I do. In other words, the Pharisees were doing a whole lot of things they weren't supposed to be doing, but they would hold everybody else down. It says, that which I do, I allow not. In other words, I'm doing things, but I don't want you to do things. That's how we are. That's how the flesh is. It's okay for me to do these things, but don't let me catch you doing this stuff. That which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. In other words, the things that I'd like to do, the things I know I'm supposed to do, the things that I know that I'm commanded to do, it says, what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. You know, God hates sin. I should hate sin. I should hate sin so much that I would stay away from sin. But it says, that but what I hate. I don't like what sin does. I don't like what sin even comes close to me about. But what I hate, says that I do. That I do. If then I do that which I would not, in other words, if I keep doing the thing that I know I ought not do and shouldn't do and don't want to do, if I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. In other words, the law is still showing me just how messed up I am. Just how out of whack I am. The law is still leading me. The law is still guiding me. The law is still showing me that the law is holy and right and good. Says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that is good. In other words, just by my falling, I proved the law is right. just by my sinful nature, I proved that the law is right. God set these things up showing that we couldn't keep them.
Yeah.
Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Ooh, boy. Now, how do I separate myself from the sin? It's no longer me. I didn't do that, Lord. It was the sin that's still in me, right? Is that what it just said? I can't separate me from my sins. I still am a sinner, saved by grace. It says, if then I do that which I, the sin that dwelleth in me. In other words, when I got saved, when God saved me, when God put the new man in me, when God born me from above, He left me connected to my old nature. He left me connected. I'm dragging around a dead man all day long. And that dead man stinks, and he's terrible, and he's ugly, but I should be living towards godliness the whole time. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The carnal part of me, the fleshly part of me, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. If I want to try to be religious, I could act like it. I might even fool some people. I could make you think I'm very religious. Man, that guy, he's a preacher and he reads his Bible, he goes to church. Man, he's got to be it, right? It says here, for I know that that which is in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I'd like to be all holy and right and good. To will, I'd love to be all these right things. To will is to be present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. In other words, even if I tried my very best to be the perfect God person, I don't have what's in me to do it. I need God. I need the Holy Spirit. I need Jesus Christ. I need the whole part of the Godhead working in me to bring me to where I need to be. It says, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. In other words, in this fleshly body without Christ, I can't get there. I could want to. Man, I'd like to be all holy and godly. There are people out there who think they are doing that. There are people in Matthew that's going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? And didn't we do that? And didn't we do some of this? And he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Because they willed to do good and they did their very best. But in the flesh, they could not make it happen. I do not. That ought to break our hearts. The good that I would, I do not. How often do we have opportunity to do good and we still don't do it? The good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now this is Paul now writing this. This ain't Charlie wrote this. Paul wrote this. He's probably top notch on the scale of doing right and wrong, knowing the right and wrong stuff. He's the one that's, and this is not him saying, you guys do this and I don't. He's saying, the good that I would, I do not. He says, but the evil which I would not, that I do. That's when he says, I am aiming at the mark. I'm aiming at the high calling of Jesus Christ. I keep putting those things. When I fail and when I ask for forgiveness, I put them behind me. And I keep going towards Jesus Christ. He says, now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. The new man, believe it or not, doesn't sin. I don't know how you get that taken care of, but the new man doesn't sin, but the old man still sins. Says, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. We are still saturated with sin. Does that excuse us for what we do? Absolutely not. Should I live holy and righteous and godly? And should I try to push down sin at every opportunity and try to sustain that down there by staying in the right mind of frame with God and asking God to help me when I'm weak, while asking God to help me when I can't make it? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? Those kind of things? Yes. But my flesh sometimes wants to say, I know all that, but I still ain't going to do it. I do. I'm not no super duper person. I'm a sinner saved by grace. find then a law when I would do good, when I would do good, when I want to do... Do you know that you can read things in this book and then bad thoughts will go through your head? When I would do good, evil is present with me. When I'm sitting here studying my Bible, when I ought to be as close to God as I can get, when I'm in my prayer closet, sin still comes into that closet beside me and wants to condemn me and call me things and show me how bad I am and what I do. Don't let Satan whip you there. Don't let Satan get a handle on you there. Those are the things that all Christians go through. When you're in your prayer closet, you think, I'm in the Holy of the Holies. I'm in the throne room of God. Nothing of Satan can touch me here. You better watch out. That's when he would like to bombard you with his arrows and his darts and everything else. Just like I said, yeah, if you was a real Christian, you'd have never done that. Yeah. Satan's good at that. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That new man wants to be godly. That new man seeks to be godly. That new man seeks out the right things to do. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I'm looking for the right things. I want to be in church. I want to be reading my Bible. I want to be around God's people. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. This is Paul being honest again here. He says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. We have a fight going on, folks. We have a battle going on. The old man cannot stand the new man. And the new man wants to walk after godliness and righteousness and holiness. And the old man wants to whip him down every chance he gets. And you're sitting here, then how do we win this fight? How do we get beyond this battle that's going on? Because I am weak in the flesh. You are weak in the flesh. See, but I see in the law of my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. I still realize I'm saved, but I'm still a wretched man that I am. I'm still, most of the time, unright, unclean, undone. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, man, how do I escape this? How do I get away from this flesh that keeps dragging me down? Oh, wretched man that I am. And then he says, I thank God. Whew. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ. So then with the mind I serve the law of God. And you say, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So we have a conflict still going on here. I thank God because God has given me this new creature. I can serve God with my mind. But then we go on. There is now. Therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, we have to fight this flesh down. We have to whip this flesh. We have to use all of our God's strength to do it, that we may serve God with our minds and not with our flesh. Our flesh will mess you up. So as we serve God, we walk after God, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life. Those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about the sin death, because Jesus took care of that. You don't have to worry about paying the penalty back, because Jesus took care of that. Those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ are covered from the sin. Thank God, because of what? We'd still be all under the law. We'd all be all under condemnation. But there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. Get that? I have been made free from the law of sin and death. Not because of what I did, not because of what I'll ever do, not because I've changed my attitude, but because of what Christ has done. He has made me free from the law of sin and death. He took my place on the cross. He paid my burden on the cross. He covered my sin with His blood. He was my propitiation between man and God. He took away the wrath. You see, if you don't have Him, all that wrath and sin debt and sin stuff, the payment of sin is all upon you. For the law, and I like the law. God says the law is holy, good, and right. Right? I said that already, right?
Yeah.
But for the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. It wasn't the law that was necessarily weak, but it was me that was weak through the flesh. Thou shalt not lie. Well, I know I ain't supposed to lie. I know I'm not supposed to do that crooked thing. I know I'm not supposed to connive and cheat, try to make things okay for me. But I did it anyways. Because the flesh likes to take care of the flesh. The flesh would say, I know I'm not supposed to take advantage of you, but it'll get me another $20 on my paycheck. So I lied. Or I did this, or I did that. The law is weak in the flesh. The flesh does things it ain't supposed to do. That's why the law could not make me holy and right, but the law showed me just how sinful I am. The law was pretty strong. The law even brought unto life if you could do it. But I sinned unto death. It says, for the law of the Spirit is life. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Trust in God. Follow God. Be obedient to God. In Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Are you under a burden? Do you understand that in yourself you cannot appease God? In yourself you cannot please God with bringing Him good works or good stuff or stuff like that? In yourself you are hopeless, but in Christ Jesus you have power. You have strength. It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, not in sinful flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh, that body that died for us, that body that was crucified for us, that God hath prepared Him a body for His sacrifice for us, that body, for in that the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Only Jesus Christ could do that. Only Jesus Christ could take care of the sin debt of all of His people. Only Christ, who is in the likeness of sinful flesh. He wasn't, His daddy wasn't one of us. His daddy wasn't a human. His daddy was God Himself. He had a fleshly body prepared to Him for a sacrifice. When He came here, He knew without a doubt He was headed towards Calvary. Everything He did to please the Father, heading towards Calvary to die for the sins of His people. And He put His body, the one that was prepared for a sacrifice on that cross, and died a terrible death, that in His body He whipped sin. In His body He defeated death. Our flesh is weak, folks, but He can bring us through. He has the power to save. He has the power to deliver. He is the only one who can do it. And if God has showed you this morning that He has saved you, if God has showed you this morning that He has opened your eyes and heart to the fact that you are a sinner in need and you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, please be free to tell everyone here what God has done for you before you leave. Brother Keith.